Hey guys, it's Liz, and you are listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, where we give people the chance to write a letter to their younger selves in hopes that we can learn a little bit from their lives. Hey guys, welcome to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, and today I have my friend Laura Roth here with us, and she is a preschool teacher at the Chapel up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and she's the mom of three awesome kids. One of them is in high school right now, and so I get to hang out with her daughter a lot, which is super fun. But Laura, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome, Liz.
Yeah, and so I've known Laura for a while. She's been a big part of helping me out with campus life stuff here in our area. Laura is a powerhouse. Get her on any events team and she will pull it off and make sure that the napkins are perfectly matched with the tablecloths.
That's not true.
You want her on your team for
Thanks,
sure.
Thanks, Liz.
You're such a like big benefit to have in the community, not just for the like work that you can do, but just for the person that you are. And so I wanted to acknowledge that too.
Thanks.
You're awesome and I love having you around and being your friend. But I would love for you to start off with just a little bit of background on, you didn't grow up here in Huntington, you grew up somewhere else. And so share a little bit about where you grew up and how you got involved in things and all of that.
Okay. Well, I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and I lived in a suburb outside of that, which is called Westerville. And I grew up in a Christian home, but my big Christian influence in my life was Young Life.
Yeah.
And my cousins were leaders. They went to Ohio State and got me involved. And the moment I went, I fell in love.
Yeah, you loved the environment.
I did. And everything did about it.
Was it in high school or?
It was in high school. We did not have the middle school.
Okay, so
version.
You did high school, you were all in.
Yep, freshman year, went to the first club. And I was all in. And Kathy, my Young Life leader, was a huge influence in my life.
Yeah.
Absolutely integral into my Christian walk through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great group of girls and guys. There were about 100 kids that would go to club.
Yeah.
They met in homes and everything like that.
Yeah.
And
in basements, mostly.
In basements, mostly, yep.
Yeah. With all the shoes lined up by the doors.
Yes.
I've seen pictures of that stuff.
So, and then I went to camp my freshman year, and that's where I accepted. I grew up in a Christian home, but I accepted Jesus when I went to camp and that amazing experience. You know, you hear the crosstalk or the sin talk, and then you hear the crosstalk, and there's nothing more impactful than that, I don't feel like.
Yeah. Well, it's like your faith was just something that you did, and then at camp you had this moment where it became yours.
Yes.
Where you're like, you know what? I'm deciding that this is what I want to do for my entire life. And I want to devote myself to following this.
Yeah, it turned into the relationship piece,
right?
It was like that's where I realized that it was a relationship with Jesus and not just something you did on Sundays.
Yeah, yeah. That's a huge transition from just deciding those things. And it changes your mindset and your perspective and all of that. And so then you said you...
So then I went to IU.
Okay, cool.
Went to Indiana University, 4 years. I was in a sorority, but I also led the Bible study in my sorority, and
nice.
I was also starting Young Life in Bloomington. They did not have it there, so
okay.
We didn't really do a ton of clubs in my time frame, but we were meeting and getting it started. And then I...
What led you to want to do that?
Just loving Young Life and wanting to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Missing it,
probably
more than anything.
Wanting to be a part of that,
Yeah. And then I met my husband my senior year. His name is Matt, and... we decided to move to Huntington.
Okay. What brought you to Huntington?
He interviewed. He was from Homestead, so he went to Homestead High School. So these
same.
Yes, I know. Homestead. But he applied to lots of the areas around the Fort Wayne area, just to lots of different law firms in the area.
Yeah.
So he got a job.
Landed here in Huntington.
Yeah.
Blessed and highly favored here.
Yeah. I was a little bit nervous, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
Liz, it was a hard pill to swallow at first, to going from Columbus, Ohio and Bloomington to a small town. I had never done the small town thing.
Yeah, same. Moving from a bigger city to a smaller town. I never forget the first time I went to the Huntington 4-H fair. I had never seen that many pigs or cows before in my entire life.
Yeah, I'd never been to a 4-H fair either.
Yeah, I didn't
ever.
Even know.
I didn't even know what 4-H was.
I didn't either. So, you know, us transplants here, we're getting used to the rural life when we first move here. Yeah. And so thinking back on your college time, and I love it that you led a Bible study for your sorority sisters. And mm-hmm. I think I want to ask a little bit, like, how was getting something like that started? It feels a little scary
yes.
to start something with your peers. So how was that whole experience? Did you grow a ton? Like, what was that?
It was great. It was scary because that a sorority necessarily isn't the environment that yeah. Bible studies thrive.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't say that I'm definitely not perfect, and we partied and had fun in mm-hmm. college, but we definitely kept our eyes on Jesus. And there were about 7 to 10 girls, depending on the semester, because yeah. caseload and finding time to yeah. meet was also difficult. But it was great because we all shared mm-hmm. just our life, and we just walked. We would do a book because mm-hmm. that was easier for me, and just kind of kept our focus. People, yeah.
So yeah, that's good. It feels so scary to put yourself out there to lead something with your peers because you're like, they're my peers. I'm not this like leader for them or anything like that. But I think it's so special to be able to have those communities, especially when you're in school and doing that stuff. So yeah. that it's cool to look back on to be able to do
we
that.
We had a mirror that we put everything on. And so I just put up like Bible study Tuesday yeah. at 9:00. And I didn't know if anyone would sign up. But, uh-huh. you know, I did. And yeah. when that happened, it was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. So you did the initial put yourself out there and be like, okay, I'm going to sit here at 9:00. And if no one shows up, that's okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I love that because it takes an amount of courage and bravery that, you know, might not be for everybody. But you were able to put yourself out there and do that, which is really cool.
Thanks.
So then you moved to Huntington away yep. from your college friends.
Yep. I was supposed to get a brownstone in Chicago. Okay. Met Matt at Thanksgiving of my senior year. But I was not planning to get married,
yeah.
And all that. And uh-huh. then God just, we met and uh-huh. it was meant to be. So we met in November. We were engaged in April. But then we did have a long engagement.
Okay.
So,
did you move to Huntington before you guys were married?
I didn't, but he did.
Okay.
So we bought a house because there weren't a lot of rentals.
Yeah.
And I lived in Fort Wayne because we didn't want to live together before we were married.
Yeah.
So I just visited.
Okay.
But I was teaching in Fort Wayne at that time, so okay. I had a full time job.
Yeah. And so then you guys got married.
Yep.
And then what happened after that?
So then I moved in, and we moved to Huntington, and I knew nobody.
Yeah.
So that was a very scary, overwhelming experience for someone as social as I am
yeah.
to come in and be like, we have no friends.
Yeah.
What are we going to do every Friday and Saturday
night? It's like, I mean, I'm glad I have my husband, but he can't be my only friend.
Correct. And he does not fill my cup totally. So that is for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
So it just over time, I got involved. I joined Tri Kappa. We were in the JCs.
Now, what's Tri Kappa?
Tri Kappa is a service sorority okay. in Huntington.
Okay.
And they just raise money and do projects. They are in charge of Follies.
Okay.
That's one of their big events.
Yeah. And Follies is for people that aren't in Huntington.
Correct. They yeah. are. It's a variety show.
Okay.
Where
yeah.
we do stupid skits and funny things.
Perfect.
And then we were in the Junior Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And so we would meet. And so I met people there. So we kind of jumped in head first.
Yeah.
And started to meet people and got a group of friends. And mm-hmm. and it just became home. We actually had great friends.
Yeah.
But at first, it was great because our neighbors, we were first-time homeowners, and our neighbors were great. But they were like, you're never home.
Yeah.
You're never home on the weekends. You're yeah. always going here, going there. We had so many weddings, that wedding season
oh,
where it's
yeah.
every Saturday.
Yep.
So we kind of did that too, the wedding circuit.
Mm-hmm. So it was joining different groups
yep.
and just making yourself available.
Yep.
That kind of led you guys to making some new friends
yep.
and really building a foundation in a new place.
Because yes.
I think a lot of people can empathize with going somewhere new. So even if you've never moved somewhere, you're going to go to college and have new people. You're going to go to a new school. Somebody's going to move sometime, hopefully at some point in time. And you're going to be able to think, okay, what I need to do is put myself out there because I can't just wait for other people to come to me.
Correct. And it was a huge area of growth.
Yeah.
I mean, and we leaned on our church. We also went to the chapel.
Yeah.
And, got involved there. And because it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had many a nights of tears and,
yeah.
Leaning in on Jesus and what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Is this where I'm really supposed to be? Moments
yeah.
that... but we just stuck it out.
Yeah.
We did. We stuck it out, and it has been phenomenal. We absolutely love living in Huntington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I know you have a pretty solid group of friends
because
I know you and I know your life now. How has that, having that strong community of good friends as an adult, How has that impacted your life?
I can't imagine doing life any other way.
Yeah.
And actually, our group of friends now is not as the same group that we had when we first moved here. So one of those things that you walk through, I had a miscarriage, actually two. But when I had my first miscarriage, Amy, who is my best friend now, came over. And her dad actually was in my is in Matt's law firm.
Okay.
And so, but we had not met.
Okay.
So, which is pretty crazy.
She just comes over.
So she just comes over.
Okay.
Out of the blue, here's I have a miscarriage, and comes and sits with me.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't even really know each other. And we had some amazing moments of she prayed with me, and she just sat with me.
Yeah.
I cried a lot. We just sat on the couch for a couple hours, and then she left.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I want to know that person. Yeah, that's someone I need in my life.
That's really special.
It was. It was out of the blue.
Yeah.
And then she was pregnant, and I brought her a meal, and it's one of our funny stories. And we just have grown, and we have our families. We ate together two nights a week before we had kids, and we'd spend the night at each other's houses, even as adults.
Yeah. And I love adult sleepovers.
Yes.
So
it was
fun.
So fun. And that is who our my best friend is, and then our core has just grown from there.
Yeah, that's amazing. And the transition from college to adult life and gaining friends, losing friends is so impactful because it's seasons. Like,
right.
We go through seasons in our life, and there are some people that have had the same best friends since they were two, and then some people that best friends come and go. And it's really hard to find those things. And sometimes, I know we were talking before that, like, you had your college best friend, you know, not want to be your friend anymore. And that hurts really bad.
Yeah, that was probably the deepest hurt I have felt in my life. Because we were very close. She was my best friend. She was in my wedding. And to feel that abandonment it is from the heart. I mean, it cuts deep.
Yeah.
Really deep.
Yeah.
And not knowing why. And I still don't to this day know why.
Yeah.
And being able to accept that. That's really hard for me as an eight, Liz. You know I'm an eight.
Yeah. So Enneagram eight, Liz.
Yes.
Enneagram eight.
That was hard for me to just accept and move on. And it took about, I would say, 2 years for me to truly let it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God, I leaned on God. That was also probably the time in my life where I leaned on God the most and trying to understand why, the why piece, and just really looking introspectively into my own self and spending time with God and in the Bible to try to heal that wound.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be the way to describe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because it's different when you lose someone to a death. That is extremely painful and very permanent. And I've lost friends to death and all of that. But there's something a little different about losing a friend because they choose to not be your friend anymore.
Right.
Which I think a lot of people can understand how that feels.
Yeah, it is painful. And just, you know, there's not a reason. If you could have a big fight or some sort of big thing that happened, then you could understand it. But to just get that phone call and that she said, I just don't want to be friends anymore. We don't have anything in common. That's what she said. And that was really hard.
Yeah.
You know, I was married and she was not. So I don't know if that was the reason, but, you know. But, you know, God filled that space with good friends in Huntington and able to help heal those wounds for sure.
Yeah. So was that that friend that called you, was that before or after you had made your other friends here in Huntington, or were you left alone during that?
It was after, so I did have a friend.
Good.
Yeah.
You had some people in your life
to help pick me up.
yeah. And I think that the thing we can glean from all of that is that you didn't just tuck it under the rug. Even your miscarriages, you told people about it.
Absolutely.
Because I think sometimes we take the really hard things in life and we feel some shame about it, or we feel like, oh, I don't want to tell people this because I don't want them to see me as not strong enough. I don't want them to see me as this weak person or to pity me, or I don't want any of that. So I'm just going to keep it to myself. But you shared the hard things that were going on with some people. Obviously, you probably didn't blast it all over social media if that was around.
Well, we didn't even have it
then. Around, but you didn't put it you didn't put it out there for everybody to see.
Yeah.
But you told the people that mattered. And you gained some amazing blessings from the really, really hard things in your life.
I've learned, I feel like over the years, being 44 and having some experiences, that when you're vulnerable, I feel like that's when I grow or get the closest with people. And so when you share those hard things in life that you're walking through, people come alongside and they have the same, they may not have the exact same hard thing, but they do have their things that they can relate to or share also. And then those, that's when you become closer.
Yeah. And even when you mentioned, like, when your friend left you, and that's the 2 years you got the closest to God in your journey, and you wanted to go to him and help figure out, like, what is going on. Now, that what did that whole period of time look like when it came to your faith and pursuing God? Because it can look different. Like, did you just spend a ton of time alone praying? Did you read your Bible a ton? Did you, like, only listen to worship music? What did that look like for
you? Worship music definitely is huge in my walk with the Lord. I am a Jesus Jams lover. Yeah. I listen to 883 every day in my car. My poor kids, because they don't get a choice. We don't really change the station. But our other friends were doing some Bible studies, and so we were meeting. So that was a way we did some of the Beth Moore series.
Nice.
So is it Chains Unbroken or is it just Unbroken?
Okay.
Which was really good. And just in prayer and reading I read my Bible a lot, but I'm not sure that was the number one thing during that time. It was definitely leaning on friends.
Yeah.
I'm a talker, a communicator, so I also needed to talk it out with lots of people who knew my friend and knew me. What did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. What happened here? I don't understand.
Yeah. Because I think we can easily go to what did I do wrong as in what's wrong with me?
Yes.
But it's, I think it is important to take those times instead of just being like, well, she must be the one in the wrong there, and take those times as constructive criticism within ourselves and be like, okay, obviously this wasn't done the best it could, but is there something that I could grow and change here? And not just like I'm a bad person, but just like, oh, you know, maybe I could have been a better friend in this time or this, like, you know.
Right.
And we don't let your pain get wasted, right? Like, where you take your pain and you use it to grow and for good. And I think that's what I'm hearing, what you did in that time is you processed things with friends, you ran to the Lord over and over again, and then you looked within yourself and you're like, okay, what did I do wrong? Like, was there something that could have been different? And if not, then that's
the way it is.
That's on her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so true. And as I've gotten older, I think those moments of when pain happens, that's when I have my biggest leaps of growth. Because you can be introspective and say, okay, that wasn't the best Laura, right? There are definitely moments I look back and I go, oh, that was not good.
Yeah.
So, but learning from those moments are key, I think.
Yeah. Well, they just help us grow a lot.
They do.
Like, I always tell people, I want people to see Jesus in me and not me. Like,
right.
I don't want them to see Liz, because Liz is aggressive and a bully and way too sarcastic and, like, a little mean to people sometimes. I want them to see Jesus in me, because that is a way better version of me.
Amen. I have that same, being an Enneagram 8, and I am also very sarcastic and very loud.
Yeah.
You know, they call me Old Yeller sometimes.
I love it.
Yeah. So, and I'm okay with it, but I have over time, I think, learned a little bit and how to soften that, and Jesus for sure helps that.
Yeah. So as an adult, I think sometimes it's hard to find that community, especially when kids come into the mix. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now I don't have kids, but most of my friends do. And it's especially when they're younger kids, it's hard to be intentional in relationships and to figure out the new rhythms of life during each phase of your kids' lives. So how did you guys make that work with all of your kids and making adult friends and all of that?
Yeah, I think that's one, the group that we really call our core group, our squad, is because we included our kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a season where we didn't have kids. Then we all get kids, and we just kept meeting and gathering as families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would get babysitters.
Yeah.
For sure, we would get babysitters to have those nights out.
Yeah.
But a lot of our time was spent including our kids. Mm-hmm. And so their kids are kind of like my kids.
Yeah.
And my kids are kind of like their kids. We love our kids like they're our own and cheer for them and root for them and mm-hmm. support them. And I think that is part of it.
Yeah.
I think that's a really big part of it. We vacation together. That's another thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
That you create those memories and those bonds.
Yeah. Well, it's just, yeah, those mutual times together. But mm-hmm. then it's also the caring for things that they care about, right? And they yes. obviously care a lot about their kids. And so you want to care about those things too.
Absolutely.
You know, and really doing that. Because I think we live in a community now in our American culture, which is really siloed, personal, like stay in our homes. This is my time. This is my family. But we miss the community aspect of, their kids are feel like my kids too, or these people feel like my people too, or we're all a family even though we're not, you know, blood related or married. Like we just, it's that community part that I think some people are really missing, because we live in this generation where we don't know our neighbors and we don't, you know, open ourselves up to people, and it feels awkward, so we don't even want to put ourselves out there because social anxiety and like all that kind of stuff too,
and excuses. I mean, I think yeah. It's easy to say, oh no, my house is a mess, I'm not going to have them over.
Yeah.
And we just opened our homes, you know, because early married, we have no money.
Uh-huh.
So you can't go out to dinner all the time yeah. or go to concerts. And so we just created these environments in our houses that it was an open door policy and just yeah. a place where we gathered
mm-hmm.
and just used our homes. And so, and it didn't matter if they were perfect. Yeah. There is no perfect home. There uh-huh. is no cleanest home or anything like that. And so we just said, come over, everybody come over
yeah.
and gather. Mm-hmm. And we love it. I mean, we still do it. We have high schoolers and they come.
Yeah.
So that's a huge,
I know, that's awesome.
I think that's a testament to, you know, the relationship piece. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you cook for all of them.
I do. I do cook for a lot of them. But so do everybody. Everyone takes a turn, which
yeah.
is great.
Yeah. You share it, which yes. is really cool. And so backing up, you mentioned that you had two miscarriages, and obviously then we talked about how you have three kids. And so how did that whole journey of, you know, miscarriages to pregnancy to, you know, that beginning part of starting your family look like for you?
Yeah. So my first pregnancy ended in a miscarriage, and that was really hard because yeah. you're super excited mm-hmm. and you tell everybody right away because yeah. you haven't learned that mm-hmm. sometimes God has different plans.
Yeah.
And so now you have to go back and tell everybody it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's fear.
Yeah.
And so that has me leaning into God more. And my husband, Matt, and I just continue to pray about it. And we really became close to each other
yeah.
during that time so that we could focus on what was important and God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we left it in his hands. And then I got pregnant again and had Carly.
Yeah.
And then I got pregnant again and had another miscarriage.
Okay.
And so then that was scary. It was like, is this going to be our only child?
Yeah.
That mentality. Mm-hmm. And we kept trying. And then we had Ben, and he was easy pregnancy. The whole bit went mm-hmm. very smooth. And then we got pregnant again, and it was with AJ. And his pregnancy was very scary. So okay. I had some issues at the beginning. They thought they corrected them. Then they didn't realize they didn't give me my shot for being Rh negative, which is complicated. But
mm-hmm.
And that was scary. So I got that. And then at the end of my pregnancy, I had a very rare condition that if I went into labor and we both would have died in like 7 minutes.
Whoa.
It was pretty intense.
Okay.
And so the doctors, you know, he was fine and I was fine. It was only if I went into labor.
Okay.
So it was kind of like sitting on a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
Is what it felt like yeah. as being the pregnant person.
Wow.
So, yes, it's called vasoprevia and okay. it's pretty serious.
Yeah.
And so when I was going through all that, I was teaching middle school.
Okay.
And finally, I just looked at my doctor and said, I can't stand up in front of my class anymore and concentrate. All yeah. I think about is that it? Is it happening?
Yes.
Am I going to die now?
Yes.
And
oh, yeah. Like that. If you, from the beginning of labor, 7 minutes?
Yeah. Like I'm done.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. I mean,
it would have been scary. So
yeah.
We decided to have him a month early.
Okay.
So they induced. Everything went fine.
Okay.
And actually, I had a C-section. I wasn't induced. And I had a C-section.
Okay.
And
it's hard to remember. You got three.
I know.
Of
I have
them.
Three. And then everything, he was fine. Okay. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So he was a month early, but he was 8 pounds. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness he didn't bake any longer.
Yeah.
He was humongous.
He's a big boy.
He was humongous. He didn't even have to go into the NICU or anything. He was perfectly great.
Just
a month early.
Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine?
No. Like, no, really, he would have been really
20
can't.
Pounder coming
yeah,
out
he
of
was
you.
A butterball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So that was a pretty intense experience.
Yeah.
To go through and, you know, have and. It was just scary. Matt was scared. My mom was scared. They all wanted me to go on bed rest in the hospital.
Yeah.
So that we could try to continue on. And finally, I just said, let's go with it.
Mm-hmm. Let's just do it.
Let's just do it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And that constant fear.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how that, like how you functioned in the normal
wasn't
world.
Good. I wasn't really functioning
like any sort
that
of,
great.
Any sort of stomach pain.
Yeah. Twinge. Any twinge. You're like, is this it?
Yeah. Is this when I'm going to die?
Yeah.
It's literally a life or death situation
yes,
here.
Yes, it was.
Man. And then, so raising kids, right?
Yeah.
Raising kids and they're mostly teenagers now, right?
Uh-huh. Which is, well, yeah. AJ just turned 12
oh,
last
just
weekend.
Oh, 12. Okay. I thought he was 13.
So we're close.
Okay. So, yeah. You've got... You know, more grown than not kids, right?
Correct.
And so how is that journey of being a mom? What has it taught you? What are some of the...
Whoa, Liz, that... We don't know. I'm not sure we have enough time for that.
I know, right?
But it is great. I love being a mom. It is super busy. Mm-hmm. They are very involved
yeah.
in lots of different types of things. And so I'm a sports mom, yeah. a show choir mom, you know, a spelling bee mom, mm-hmm. all of those things. And so we're running, but now I do have a driver. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah, game changer.
Game changer. And I love it. I love being a mom. I decided to change. I was a middle school science teacher mm-hmm. for 10 years and decided I needed to back away a little bit. And
yeah.
so now I teach preschool part-time so that I can be available for my kids.
Yeah.
Because I think they need me and mm-hmm. I want to be there for them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think that's something that I was thinking about when I was just thinking about some qualities I really appreciate about you is you're available.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not only available for your kids, you're available for the community. You're available for the people that need you. And that is such a huge and powerful thing that I think a lot of people miss right now is just the availability to say yes to things and to be able to do that. And you've intentionally created space and sacrificed, you know, it's I have a few friends that decided to be stay-at-home moms, and it's a wrestle in our country to be like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and they're like, oh, is that all you do?
It
like,
really,
you know,
is.
that feeling is, you know, but oh yes, that is all they do, because it is so much work and tons to do. And but like, you are able to in a sense humble yourself when it came to positions of like, you know, monetary success, to find success in being available for your kids and available for the things you care about, which is really cool.
Yeah. Liz, I appreciate that, because it was a huge decision.
Yeah.
And you do feel for a while you feel less than.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard pill to swallow when you're driven. And
yeah.
I could have gone and gotten my master's and become
yeah.
a principal. I think that could have been a path I took.
Yeah.
But I did. Matt and I wanted to be an intentional family,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that you have to be intentional. You
yeah.
cannot just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it doesn't happen. And so I did take a step back for that.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough that my spouse financially was able to do that, because
yeah.
some families don't have that option, and
mm-hmm.
I fully understand that and am blessed in that area so that we were able to do that and
yeah.
still – maintain our lifestyle,
because
mm-hmm. that's hard.
Oh yeah, it's really hard,
because kids are expensive, and so
especially really involved ones.
Yes. So, you know, that's been good, but I think intentional and available are two words that I would describe why I wanted to do that. I wanted
yeah.
to be around and be able to do the family dinner thing,
mm-hmm.
because I think gathering around the table for dinner is so important. That's where we
yeah.
get all of our updates of school, and
yeah.
they share,
mm-hmm.
and it's just casual. And if I was working full time, that would not be happening.
Yeah.
So I fully understand why it's not happening in our society,
mm-hmm.
why it has started to disappear, because there's not enough minutes to
yeah.
get it all done.
It's just, we're just busy. We're busy
yes.
people, you know,
yeah.
and making, be intentional to be available, I think is a huge thing. It
yeah.
speaks volumes to, you know, other people see it, and it's really cool to, to be able to be like, you know what? I know, like, I want Laura to come on this podcast. And you know what? I think she'll be available for it. And she'll figure out, we'll figure out a time.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I just appreciate that. And I appreciate you. We have this thing called a community support team with Campus Life. And Laura's been on that for a while, back and forth, but on it for a long time. And I appreciate it because she's available and very intentional about it, which is really cool.
Well, and I also enjoy going to my kids' things. You know, they're in these basketball, they play basketball, they play football, they're show choir. And I enjoy watching them do what they love. Yeah. They don't do it for me, but I enjoy being able to go and not have to be super stressed about getting there or asking for time off. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
And I love hosting my kids' friends. I feel like we have a safe environment and we want to know where our kids are and what they're doing without controlling it.
Yeah.
And so being able to be a parent that's home, I am able to say yes a lot to kids coming over to our house, where I understand that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that.
Yeah. And I think that Jesus can work through you more and more because you have that available space for it. And some people can't do that, for sure. And they can, Jesus works through them in plenty of other ways. But for you, that's your ministry, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I did get to, when I stepped away from full-time teaching, I was a mentor for Place of Grace.
Yeah.
And that was a huge
growth. And what's Place of Grace?
Place of Grace is a women's shelter in Huntington County for women coming out of incarceration or tough times. That some of them are there voluntarily, and then some of them are placed there by the court system. And so just being a mentor and walking alongside of somebody, I did it for a year and a half, and it was life-changing to do that and to experience all the growth that the women coming out of Place of Grace grow is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's
awesome. But I wouldn't have had that time
if
I was full-time teaching to be able to do it.
Okay, yeah. And so when, I mean, we have tons of ups and downs in our life, right? Like, we got really high highs and really low lows. But through all of that, what is some scripture or some songs, or, you know, what is some foundational things when you go to God that those are the things you hold on to?
Well, I would say I always go back to that very first verse when I committed my life to Christ, of 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old is gone, the new has come.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we're in our lows or whatever is happening, when we turn our back on God or when we're not as close, we get to start over. We can start anew. And I just have always felt that way about my walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is my number one verse that I always lean on.
Yeah.
But as a worship song person, I love Phil Wickham's Battle Belongs.
Okay.
It's my favorite. And when it comes on, I just can't yell it loud enough.
Uh-huh. Spoken like a true Enneagram 8, a battle song.
Yes. And Lauren Daigle, I got to go to Lauren Daigle this last week.
Yeah,
and
I saw you there.
I know, it was great. And she is amazing.
Yes.
So I love her. Almost every song that she has, I love too.
Yeah,
so those are probably my focus.
Yeah, that's awesome. So right now, Laura, I'd love for you to read your letter to your younger self.
Dear younger me, wow. I didn't realize how fast time would go. You are headed into some of the best years of your life. I want to encourage you to enjoy every minute of every stage. That doesn't mean there won't be hard times and struggles, but try not to waste time on the negative. Every stage has its purpose, and it is way more fun when you are looking for the positive. Always be kind. Be the person who invites the person sitting alone at the lunch table, or who you never see at the game. You will make a difference in those people's lives, and that is important. I will also encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus and not get distracted by the world around you. When you encounter bumps in the road or adversity, remember God has the perfect plan, and sometimes trials are when you will need God the most and will feel closest to Him. Relationships, experiences, and family are precious. Don't take them for granted. Keep being everyone's cheerleader and standing up for the underdog. Continue challenging others, but always maintain your integrity. As your mom and dad always said, honesty is the best policy. It has served me well. Good luck. Love, me.
I love when you were talking about the, what was the line you said right before, honesty is the best policy?
continuing challenging others, but always maintain your integrity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that was so powerful because it's like, you want to be the one to challenge people and to push people to grow and all that, but you never want to compromise your values, which is to love others, right? Like leading with love, but sometimes leading with love is challenging people to grow and is confronting people with the things where it's like, hey, this doesn't match up with what you said, or, you know, all of that. I think we shy away from that sometimes, but it's a really great encouragement to say, you know what? I think sometimes we need to talk to people and be like, hey, you seem a little off today. What's going on? And to like push into those relationships, but always leading with that integrity too, which is really cool. And I definitely see that in how you live your life even now. And it's just really cool. And I love how you talked about cheering people on, because I think that is huge. And we miss that because we live in a world that is really negative, negative, yes. negative, putting people down. But there is so much when it comes to cheering someone on. Our words matter so much, and our cheers matter even more, I think.
I agree. I think that as I've gotten older, I didn't realize how much your words are impactful.
Yeah.
And so that's a hard lesson I've had to learn sometimes, where you say things and you go, oh, shoot. That wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But I do think that when we cheer people on and we are positive, it is a better place.
Yeah.
In a lot of arenas. It's not necessarily just on a sports field or something like that. It is in jobs and in life, and when people are struggling, still encouraging them to keep going, that it's worth the fight and to help them along their journey.
Yeah, because not only does cheering people on help others, but it helps us.
Yes.
Like when I'm being negative about something, I feel that. I feel the heaviness and I feel that negativity inside of me. But when I can be positive and cheer someone on, that changes me.
Absolutely agree.
And it's
absolutely
just like scripture says, a joyful heart, like have a joyful heart. And when we have those joyful hearts, we're more connected to God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a more positive place to live and just to be.
Yeah. So I love that you would encourage yourself to do that, because you're doing that right now, which is really nice.
I try. I always feel like there's lots more growth, but I try.
Hey, we're all flawed people, right?
That's right.
So if someone is listening to this and they resonate with some of the ups and downs that you've had in your life, what is some advice that you might have for someone that is resonating with feeling lonely or feeling like they're in a new space? You know, maybe they're a beginning college student, or they just transferred schools, or they moved to a new town, or even this the pain of loss and not having friends around them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's some advice that you have for people in situations like that?
Well, first, if you're just moving to a new place, I just think you need to get involved. You have to jump in. You have to take that first step, take that next best step to solve the problem. And so to meet people, you have to get involved. And whether that's a small group in your church, whether that's, you know, on a college campus and all the different opportunities, you just have to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think pray about it. I think God hears our heart. Yeah. I think that they will put the right person in your path when you need them. And so, but you have to pray about it and say, I want to fix this situation. I want to not be lonely anymore.
Yeah.
I want to have a group. Mm-hmm. I need someone to be with me.
Yeah. And you need to be available.
Yes.
Right? You have to make yourself available to it.
And sometimes you have to say yes when even you don't really feel like it.
Yeah. You're like, I'd rather stay at home and watch TV.
Yes. I encourage my kids that way.
Man, your yes is... But then you leave that place and you're like, wow, I'm really glad I said yes to that.
Yes. 9 times out of 10, I feel like that's the way.
Yeah.
You know, you're not upset that you're not sitting on your couch watching TV that you can do anytime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be available.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, Laura, thank you so much for coming here and hanging out with me and sharing your story.
You are so welcome.
It has been such a privilege to know you and to grow with you and to just be a part of your life and even wave at you at the Lauren Daigle concert when I spied you from afar and texted you creepily and I was like, I see you.
Yes, I loved it. I was so glad you did that. I'm like, Amy, Liz is here too. Where is she?
And so it's been so cool. And I love having your kids in campus life. And it's just fun to be a part of this community and having you in it and having you on a team.
Well, Liz, we couldn't do it without you.
Yeah.
So we're so thankful for you too.
Yeah. So guys, everyone at home, thank you so much for listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me. Make sure you guys go like us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, share us with your friends. If you guys leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts, that helps more people find this podcast and hear more of these stories. And so today, guys, I hope you learned a lot more about Laura, a lot more about yourself, and even more about God. Go out and have an awesome day.